Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered, always fun.
Let's get a robot in here.
Okay, go ahead and book a robot for us, and let's try to get
their
take.
There was robots skiing at the Olympics. We can get a robot in here for the show.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes solo. Pierre LeBrun's going to join me here in a moment, but the O-Dog is off to do panel work because the Leafs are playing the Islanders tonight on TSN 4, and Noodles is calling the game. So Dennis Back and Jamie Noodles McLennan will be calling the game. So Noodles has not been here all day. Oh, was here for a couple of hours, but now he's gone to do SportsCenter hits and panel pregame hits. And pregame on TSN 4 begins at 6:30. Again, puck drop at 7. And the Islanders are in town, and this potentially could be the last time we see John Tavares in an Islanders uniform playing at the ACC, because this is it for the Islanders coming to Toronto this year. As we know, we've been talking about it for like 18 months. He's a pending UFA. And I'm all about content, and I've said this many, many different times. I don't really care where he ends up. I just want to see him move, because I think the NHL is a much more interesting league. It's a much more interesting business plan if you have more player movement. Why don't you sit over there, Pierre? I like you as close as you can get, but it's better with eye contact if you're in that seat. But I'm all for Tavares moving. I'm all for Carlson being traded. And this isn't a Toronto thing. I'm not saying that I want Tavares to come here, although that'd be cool, or Carlson to come here, although that'd be cool. It's all about player movement. It's all about making your league as interesting as possible. We talk about it with the NBA all the time. We just talked about Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio, he's going to move his way out of San Antonio. LeBron James is going to be a free agent again this upcoming season. He may leave Cleveland. They owned the summer last year, and this year might be even more interesting in the NBA. All right, Pierre LeBrun in studio, brought to you by Financing. I like you in that seat, Pierre.
Tell you what, the NHL might have a nice little month of June/July, too, with Tavares, potential decision there.
Right.
Carlson. I mean, well, this Carlson situation could easily spill into the summer, obviously.
How would you handicap that, him still being an Ottawa Senator at 3:01 p.m. on Monday?
I think slightly more likely than not that he still is, because I think that the kind of pieces it's going to take to pull this off, you know, it might need more teams and more time. And remember, in the summer, you can go over the cap for a while. You can flip around things. You got all summer to figure out your situation. It's easier to do. And that's why we've seen Weber for Subban and Hull for Larson. The big ones in the last 5 years have happened in the summer. But it certainly could happen now because of the intrigue that the top cup contenders have, the fact that Carlson's on the market.
So who's that? Like, well, Tampa's the one team we keep talking
and
about.
And as I reported today, and I don't know how they could do it or where it even is now, but it's amazing to me. I wrote this in The Athletic. David Poile, I've confirmed, phoned Ottawa on Erik Karlsson.
So Nashville has been calling.
Which I'm just, that's like, I get such a kick out of that myself.
I'm not even sure how you would make that deal work.
I don't know, and maybe that's why I probably won't. But the fact that he did that, it just tells you about David Poile, right? I mean, this guy loves big game hunting. His team is close. He wants to make it better. It's obviously a lot more possible that he's going to get himself a winger. We've tied him to Rick Nash, potentially to Grabner, to Thomas Tatar. But David Poile is on a mission, and I think to some degree so is Steve Yzerman. And those are the two teams, when you talk to anyone connected to the NHL, rival executives, rival coaches, and this is all due, you know, with all due respect to Vegas, which is an amazing story, and to the Penguins, who look like they could three-peat, but Nashville and Tampa feel like the teams on each side, right? And they want to make a move.
Yeah, those would probably be the safe bets on who's going to the Stanley Cup. But Winnipeg, I think, is almost as good as Nashville, if not as good.
Yeah.
Boston's been better than Tampa over the past 2 months.
The Leafs are in there.
The Leafs are right in there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I wasn't aware of this, but Dave Poulin joined us in the previous hour, and I guess Carlson has spoken about this in the past. There are three checks that he wants to be checked off, or three boxes that he wants to be checked off. He wants to get paid. But that can't happen until July. It may not happen for another 15 to 16 months.
Right.
So may not be a top priority right now for a team looking to acquire him. Wants to go to a team that's going to spend to the cap. So a bit of an indirect shot at his own owner right now, Eugene Melnyk, who is clearly a primary character in this whole story, and wants to go to a team that's contending right now. So if you're looking for a team that's spending to the cap and a team that can contend right now, there's like five of them in the league, and three of them are in their division, Toronto, Boston, and Tampa.
Yeah.
So where's he going? Like
I mean, never say never, but I don't know that Ottawa would ever want to trade him to Toronto.
I can't
for all
picture
kinds
that.
Of reasons.
Yeah. I can't picture it because I can't see the owner, who is dealing with a PR disaster in his own market, trading the best player in franchise history to their arch rival.
No. And so, but you're right about, you know, everything else. I mean, it's why Tampa on some level makes sense. The couple of teams out west, we're told, that have contacted Ottawa. And the Senators, I think, spending the next 24 to 48 hours trying to size up what kind of packages these teams would actually be willing to do. And if it just doesn't even come close to what they have in their mind, then that's it. Wait till the summer.
Could you see them
still in play right now?
Could you see them taking him out of the lineup this weekend? Not playing him?
If they think there's a chance to pull this off, yeah. I mean, the Rangers tonight, as I reported, Grabner and Nash are out tonight in Montreal. Not because Rick Nash is getting traded tonight. I don't think he will be, but they don't want him injured.
Why would you play him? Right? You're trading him.
And they're out of a playoff spot and so on and so on. So I think it's smart of the New York Rangers to be doing this. I think every team should be doing this. There's a lot to chew on here. I think the more interesting thing with the Leafs in terms of reality is the fact that they did talk to the Rangers about McDonough. Now, I don't know how far down the highway they're willing to go on McDonough, but as I just talked about insider trading, it's exactly what I would do if I was New York Rangers. Boston, Tampa, Toronto, three top teams in the Atlantic.
Play them against each other.
That's what you do.
Absolutely.
Now, of those three, I think the Leafs would be the least willing to keep anting up as the bidding continued.
What kind of price are we really talking about here for Ryan McDonough? Good player, but not elite. Not Erik Karlsson.
I would think first-round pick plus a really good young player. After that, I don't know. And one of the things that's affected the McDonough market is exactly that, is the fact that the idea that Erik Karlsson's actually, to some degree, on the market, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, otherwise, McDonough would have had the market by himself in terms of being the most talented defenseman available. Now he's not. So the Rangers have to be realistic here about if it's important to them to move him by Monday. And again, they could wait till the draft to move Ryan McDonough, and they may actually do that, as someone told me today. But here's the danger. This summer, you could have Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the market at the June draft if they can't sign him in Arizona. Erik Karlsson still, if he's not traded by Monday. And Ryan McDonough, if the Rangers don't move him. Mm-hmm. If you're the Rangers, do you want to get into that trade market where you're now third billing?
No.
So
I'm making these moves now. You sent the letter out. You sent the letter out, which, you know, some people goofed on, some people thought was unnecessary. But they sent a letter out to their fans saying, brace yourself.
Yeah,
I don't know how far down the road you want to take that. I get the impression like Rangers fans are like, okay, we're bracing for it. Nash is gone, Grabner's gone.
Those are the easy ones, the UFA ones.
But if you're trading McDonough, make the move.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a danger. Now again, if they get completely lowballed, where it's like the best offer they have is a second round pick and a B prospect,
then you don't do it.
Then you don't do it.
Of course,
that's clear. We're talking about, okay, the first round pick is there, and then it's player X. Is it going to be better this summer? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Well, and obviously we won't know that until we get to the draft.
And it's the same debate that Ottawa and Montreal are going to have.
With Pacioretty.
Pacioretty and Hoffman and those guys. Well, Karlsson's
a different story.
But I mean, even on a Mike Hoffman, if there's no first-round pick and it's a blah offer, you're not just trading Mike Hoffman. It has to make sense. Pacioretty's a little more precise in nature and what's happening there, in my opinion, Brian.
Is that a culture move, potentially? We got to get rid of this captain? And
I'm just talking about why he may not move, is that I think the Habs don't want to rebuild. They want to retool. And I'm not here to debate whether you think that's smart or not.
No, that's fine.
But the point is, what they want, I believe, in a Max Pacioretty deal has to be a player as part of the package that plays next year on the Montreal Canadiens roster, not an 18-year-old prospect or draft picks. And I think my sense is so far the teams that have reached out to Montreal and Pacioretty have offered more of a futuristic view of the assets, which of course makes sense if you're a contender right now because you don't want to take off your roster.
Why would you?
Right? So that's the tough thing for Montreal is if that's the best you're going to get now, can you do better at the draft? In that case, you might on Max Pacioretty because of his pedigree.
Does that mean Mark Bergevin's going to be the guy pulling the trigger at the draft?
Well, you have to assume that until you hear otherwise, right?
Because that's one move I would not understand. You know, he's been there for a long time. This is his team. He's made blockbuster moves. He's had a long time to build up the center of the ice, which he has simply not done. I can't understand what his pitch would be to Jeff Molson to keep his job. Like, I just don't understand how you could continue to go down this path. They're an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah. I mean, I think, listen, I'm just playing devil's advocate because you're asking me. I think part of those discussions probably between him and Jeff Molson are, look at all the teams last year that were a disaster and now they're in, which is true. You actually can't argue that. Why can't that be us if Shea Weber's healthy and we make a few moves? I mean, we can roll our eyes, you know, you can roll your eyes. But it actually could be true. That's the league today.
Potentially could be. There's turnover, but
the league today is tight.
You're 5-6 years into this reign,
right?
Like you made the Subban deal. You fired your coach. What I'm saying is, conventional wisdom would suggest Bergevin as the GM has played a lot of the cards you can play before. At some point, the owner's going to say, "Okay, let me get this straight." Fired the coach. Mm-hmm. Traded the superstar, handed out big contracts to different players, and we're going to finish third last overall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're on pace to do. And the Carey Price contract hasn't even kicked in. Which they, as far as I'm concerned, so, I'm not playing Carey Price again all year. I'm done if I'm in Montreal.
Right. Well,
would you play him again?
He has a concussion right now.
No, well, I know, but would you play him again?
I think you have to sit down with the player and you think, what do you, once he's healthy, and say, what do you think makes sense? There is a competitive spirit in a guy. And, let me ask you this, though. Should we set up Mitch Melnyk and the boys in our sister station, Montreal, to have a shot like you and O-Dog when the Leafs won the Auston Matthews lottery?
Game changer.
Should they be ready in Montreal if they get Darlene?
I would think
so.
We
need that on tape, right?
Absolutely. Wouldn't you suggest that? Like, Darlene, this kid's a stud.
But can Mitch dance like you?
I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can yell like I can either. But that is a franchise-changing player.
The teams where now it's become so obvious where the season's headed, they are drooling at winning that. It's unbelievable.
But that's what I'm saying,
Peter. It's been a delayed reaction, though, on that league compared to some of the this guy is going to be unbelievable defenseman.
I've been surprised by that. We brought that up earlier in the week. And maybe I missed out on it because I'm in the bubble. Like,
right.
In Toronto, they're winning
the
games,
are up
going to the playoffs.
Things, yeah.
So I don't know what's going on in Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, and Edmonton. And Edmonton's a bit of a different story because I think they're sensitive to the lottery and all that kind of stuff. But if I'm in Montreal, if I'm a Habs fan, if I'm Mitch Melnyk, our buddy on TSN Radio in Montreal, I understand what you're saying. You got to talk to the player. You got to talk to Price. They shut Weber down. Now, he had surgery, but they shut him down. Now Price has a concussion. I would go to him and explain, we got to do whatever we can to give ourselves the best opportunity at winning this lottery. Because that's what the Leafs did. They shut down everybody.
Didn't Mike Babcock say on live TV near the end of the year that year that I think someone asked him about tanking, I believe, because Mike Babcock is as honest a guy as you're going to find. I believe he said, well, it's not like I've been matching lines lately.
No kidding.
I mean, there was no hiding what the Leafs were doing.
Like, they played Garrett Sparks multiple games down the stretch. Like, they were openly saying, let's lose. And guess what? It worked for them because they got the right combination to win Matthews.
Now, the problem today is the lottery has changed. And even though the odds end up still in your favor if you're the worst team in the league, last year it showed New Jersey and Philly end up with the top two picks. They weren't the worst two teams in the league last year, but they end up with the top two picks. So that's the scary part of this lottery. I mean, you know, you could end up with the eighth worst record with Darlene
could win, and that would be because Philly's going to the playoffs more than likely.
Yeah.
Jersey's going to the playoffs, and Dallas is going to the playoffs. Those are the three teams that won the lottery. And Colorado might get in, and they were fourth.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, Detroit would love to. I mean, if Detroit could win that lottery, boy, with what they're trying to do right now. Ottawa, I mean, imagine winning the lottery if you're Ottawa in a year in which potentially you're dealing Eric Carlson.
Well,
here's the heir apparent.
Yeah.
There are lots of interesting scenarios with that lottery.
It sets up beautifully. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider in studio, it kind of feels like there's like a potential for an arms race again in the Atlantic between Tampa, Boston, and maybe to a lesser extent Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of feels like a Red Sox-Yankee scenario brewing here a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they're both young, they're both quality, they're both probably going to finish top three in the league and sit in the top their conference. I mean, do you get that impression that if Tampa makes a big move, that would urge Boston to make a bigger move?
I think Boston more than Toronto. I think all three teams will end up making moves, but I think if you're going to rank the urgency and the living in the moment scenario, Tampa would be by far one in those three.
Mm-hmm.
And they got all their draft picks and lots of prospects to deal with. Boston, a little more careful because they just got things back together here after a couple of years in the wilderness.
Yeah, I'd be really cautious if I was them.
And yet, because they've drafted so well of late, they do have a toolbox to deal with. And Toronto, the most cautious of the three. And yet, I'm sure you guys have, from listening to you guys the last couple of weeks, it's the great debate with the Toronto Maple Leafs to me. And I know that this has been part of their own internal debate. Big picture should win out. Yes, add, but set your price and be disciplined about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, is this like the 2010 Blackhawks where you may never be this deep again because the kids aren't making money yet?
Right.
And you got third liners, the quality of a JVR and a Bozak.
Mm-hmm.
Will you ever have as good a third line again? I'm not saying they won't.
Well, they might.
But
will you get this kind of year out of Freddie Anderson again, too? Right.
Like, so this is so that's the back and forth on.
I'm with you, man. I do think that.
But so let me ask you this. If the Rangers, and I'm not saying this is happening right now, so
mm-hmm.
I'm spitballing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
We got you.
But if the Rangers offered the Leafs Ryan McDonagh for a first-round pick and either Dermott or Kapanen, would you do it?
I think I would, and I think I would. I'd actually do it for Kapanen over Dermott.
Right.
I think the defense is more important position.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs are loaded on the wings.
But Kapanen, you have to sit down for a second.
Well, you would.
That's
you would.
A price.
It's a price. And this is a team and this is a fan base, and I can speak from my own experience, that has been adverse to trading away first-round picks
mm-hmm.
because we all have fear that they're going to resort back to the old days where they were chucking them around left, right, and center, and it led to them being a complete disaster for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, that pick's going to be into the 20s. And you've got McDonagh. Importantly, this is the most important factor of this. It's not one run. It's not a rental.
2 years at
He'd
least.
He'd be here next year as well. And if you can keep Dermott, then you've got Riley, Gardner, Zaitsev, Dermott, McDonagh.
Suddenly,
you know, and you traded a first and Kapanen, who I like, but Kapanen's on your fourth line.
And not that you should ever make a move because of this, but an interesting subplot to it is that you would also deny Tampa and Boston Ryan McDonagh.
Right.
The teams you have to go through. Again,
well,
that's not why you should make a move.
But. And because he's got another year on the deal, even if this year you're looking at it and saying, okay, let's be realistic. Can we beat Boston? Yes. Are we going to be favored to? No. You know, it's going to take mm-hmm. something. Can we beat Tampa? Yes. Are we going to be
not
favored?
Impossible.
No, it's, of course it's not. But maybe this year we'd be an underdog against both teams. And the way things are going right now, that's probably the way it would be. But who's to say next year the Leafs aren't in Tampa's position, and they end up with 112 points, and they got home ice. You know what I'm saying? Like that second year on the McDonagh deal,
a hockey deal, which I think is
big.
Is if the Leafs are going to get in on a bigger deal, I think they'd rather it be a hockey deal. I think the fourth line death play can be a rental potentially because that'll cost way less. But if it's a top four D play, I don't think they want to spend assets on a rental. I could be wrong, but that's the sense I get.
In terms of rental, you're talking like fourth line center or something like
yeah,
that?
Something
or
like that, yeah.
Like a depth defenseman
yeah.
type? Yeah. Get more committed to building towards what you already have.
And I tell you, Ryan McDonagh has to get healthy here, but I think we watched him play enough. He's a difference maker. And defensively.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, it's funny because I actually think it's what Tampa needs the most too, is one more solid guy behind Hedman to mm-hmm. for matchups and shutdown play. But if the Leafs brought in that kind of guy that helped cut down the chances they give up and make Freddie Anderson's life just a tad easier on a team that needs way fewer chances to score. The Leafs are so talented offensively, most nights they need half the chances of the other team.
Yep.
You agree?
Yeah, that's the truth.
And so that's what's so tantalizing. Now we're talking ourselves into it.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, don't kid yourself. Some of these conversations are happening within Lou Lamoriello's group.
They have to be.
But again, it comes down to the price. And I thought Lou Lamoriello, who rarely brings down the veil, made a very telling comment in the heat of the moment at the draft last June when the Leafs, and he wasn't denying it, made a heavy run at Travis Hamonic. And he didn't name him by name, no tampering, but he said, at the end of the day, we know what our price is at this juncture of our building, of our team.
Which is
very
smart management.
And you're going to say, well, but hold on. That wasn't a throwaway comment. He's saying is we know where we got to improve, but we're just not going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will probably hold true in this instance.
Listen, this is where fans can get very emotional. And you start freaking out and you start coming up with ideas of what should happen. The truth is, that's what you should want to hear,
right,
considering some of the mismanagement that's happened within this organization in the past.
I mean,
where they got too crazy and threw away too much for nothing.
There's no question that if the Leafs truly wanted anyone right now,
they could find the price. You could find the price.
But you have to wake up the next day and live with what you just did, right?
For the next, like, not just the rest of this season, for years beyond that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And listen, it's a fun time of year, and the Canadian teams are going to be active, you would presume, on both sides.
But you talk about the arms race in the Atlantic. I think the arms race is even more pronounced in the Central Division.
Simply between Nashville and Winnipeg?
Nashville, Winnipeg, St. Louis to a degree, Dallas sleeper team right now.
They're looking pretty good.
You know, the Central is a big-time division, and I think there could be a domino effect once teams start adding there. Watch out.
Well, that's where it's difficult to get a read on a team like Dallas. You're right. I mean, Hitchcock, he's got the pedigree. He's got them playing well. They've got the goalie. They've got the one of the best lines in the league. Klingberg's had a bounce-back year. Mm-hmm. Like, why not them? But Winnipeg... Like, Winnipeg's a one that I can't get a read on, because I don't picture them in on a defenseman, because they've got a pretty good defense core on paper.
I think they'd like to add probably like a third pairing left-handed type defenseman. You know, there was talk today that maybe they checked in on a guy like Paul Martin. So not a big play there.
Mm-hmm.
But up front, I think they're being really aggressive from what I'm hearing from talking to other teams. No stone unturned by Kevin Cheveldayoff.
For help on the wing?
From Rick Nash to Derek Brassard, to Patrick Maroon. I think the Jets have done their due diligence on a bunch of these big names. Now, they may not get any. And in the case of Rick Nash, he'd have to waive to go to Winnipeg. He's not on their list. But I don't know. I mean, if you added Derek Brassard as your third-line center in Winnipeg...
You're loaded.
That's not bad.
You're loaded.
We'll see if...
And you're going to need that kind of firepower against that Nashville defense in Pekka Rinne.
Eventually, it's a team you're going to have to play.
You're probably going to have to play them
second
at some
round,
point.
Yeah.
The most confusing Canadian team for me is Vancouver. Like, I can't get a read on them. They're bottom five in the league, yet they're signing guys. They feel committed to the future.
I don't mind that Gudbranson's signing at all. I was surprised by the...
His numbers are not good.
Well, I know.
His underlying
numbers
are not good.
I'd like to see a healthy player, first of all. But B... 3-year deal for a 25-year-old just turned 26. I mean, it wasn't a big investment.
It's not, but it's a sign that they may feel like they've actually got something here, where I just don't see it.
Right.
Like, that's my point. I just don't, you know, Trevor Linden gave that spiel last week that they've got things coming and they're excited about their future, and you've got to grant them
Brock. Well, they do have really good prospects.
They got Besser, and they got, you know, Pedersen coming and Ulevi coming. They got a couple of different guys.
Thatcher Demko in goal.
Absolutely. I'm not disputing some of the pieces they have, but...
To see more of an opening of the
well,
path.
I don't understand why you would connect yourself to any, like Alex Edler. Why would he not be a part of any conversation? Why would you not be willing to talk about
If he didn't have
Chris
a no
Tanev?
Move, I think he would be. But
that's
he's got
what
a full
he wants
no
to
move,
be there.
And I think my understanding today is that they want to respect, as a matter of precedent, and they kind of went through this with Dan Hamhuis, if you remember. It got a little dicey there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to pressure players out of the full no move into having to. So if Edler wants to stay, he's earned that right. The no move is in his contract.
Well,
as a Leafs fan, I think you've lived it yourself.
I've been through that. We saw it with Sundin. And listen, I salute them for that kind of dignity that you would show towards a guy who's been there for a long time.
Well, it's also about the next free agent that they're going to try to sign one day. It's about making sure that players don't view Vancouver as, well, they were all over that guy.
Right.
And so I think it's having a...
Which I think is an important element to all this, an important consideration for sure. But, you know, Chris Tanev's name's out there all the time. Mm-hmm. Vanek, you've got Del Zotto, who they like. But what is Del Zotto?
Like,
Del Zotto can get you something. Why would you not move on from Del Zotto?
Yeah. And they
got him for nothing.
Vanek will move almost for sure. He'll be a last-minute deal, I think, on Monday. He's UFA. Tanev is not a guy that they really want to move. They are not bringing his name up in discussions with teams, is what I'm being told. However, he's also not an untouchable. I mean, the untouchables are obviously Besser and Horvat and all the kids that are coming underneath. So if a team stepped up big time on Tanev, maybe the Canucks would listen.
Well, we'll see. Good stuff, man. Thanks all for doing this, Pierre.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on Overdrive, brought to you by Financer. Add a payment plan to your tool belt, then break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Financer. We're out of here on TSN 2, but Overdrive continues on TSN 1050. Make sure you listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, come with the names of all five players. And this week, we're giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Stars on March 14th down at the ACC. And the theme this week, former Leafs who have played for Ken Hitchcock. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Carlo Koliakovo. Carlo Koliakovo, who played for Hitch in St. Louis. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. Find everything podcasted from Overdrive online at TSN1050.ca and subscribe and check out every hour on iTunes. So I stayed up last night. I don't know how many people made that choice, but I stayed up last night until about 2:30 in the morning, and there was a heartbreaking finish. The shootout, I know people hate the shootout, but let's get over it. It's been a part of international play for a long time. It's been a part of the NHL for over a decade. Not in the playoffs, but in the regular season. And quite frankly, I thought the American team was the superior team, certainly in the overtime period, but I would say in the third period as well. And the States probably deserved to win. It was a great run at the Olympics for the Canadian women's team. Four straight Olympic golds, and now the States steps up, and they won gold last night. And we got the semifinals on the men's side, I believe, tomorrow morning, but I'm so confused. I don't even know when it is. And it's Canada-Germany. Let's head over to South Korea now, catch up with our good buddy Steve Simmons from Sun Media. Do you know what's going on with these times and the time changes? What time is it over there, Steve?
It is 8:30 in the morning right now.
All right.
And the game with Canada and Germany is 9:30 tonight.
Yeah, that's... See, I can't
sorry,
do
not
the 9:30, math.
Sorry, 9:10. 9:10, okay. Which is 7 a.m.?
Yep, 7 a.m. Look at us two. Like they're almost 2 weeks into this tournament. It's almost over, and I'm still confused by the time change.
You know the band Chicago?
Yep.
These are their Olympics, because it's... Does anybody really know what time it is?
No. Nobody does.
Nobody knows. I never know what day it is. I never know what time it is. I never know which paper I'm writing for. I wrote a piece after the U.S. played in the men's tournament in the shootout and lost when they were eliminated, about how lousy shootouts are to end, you know, international hockey games, and when they played the Czechs. And the column appears in what would have been today's, I guess, Toronto Sun. So I'm getting all these emails from people saying, you're only complaining because Canada lost. Well, the thing was written 24 hours before the women's game was played.
Right. Yeah, it's very confusing.
It's mind-boggling to people at home. It's mind-boggling to guys trying to cover it here. It's very confusing.
Well, and the summer games are in Japan in 2 years, and then the winter games are in China in 4 years. So get used to it, because we're going to experience this for the next two Olympics beyond this. And as for the shootout, I mean, that's how it played out last night, and the Americans got past the Canadians. I think in a perfect world they keep playing, but when does it get to a point where we have to stop complaining about the shootout and just realize this is a part of the program? Like, it always has been, and it always will be.
Well, they actually extended overtime. Overtime used to be 10 minutes. It's now 20. It used to be full strength of players. It's now 4-on-4. So they're doing some things to try and prevent the shootout. I'm trying to be a little bit more liberal. But if you think about it, the World Cup of soccer, you know, the supposedly greatest sporting event in the world, can end in shootout.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like it. We don't want it. We'd like to see something different. We'd like to find a solution that works. I think the solution kind of worked. It was last night here. I think the better team won. And when it goes like that, it's hard to turn around and say, you know, the result is improper.
Well, I do think it's a generational thing. We've experienced The NHL play without the shootout. We still experience NHL playoffs without the shootout. So from our generational standpoint, we're going to continue to preach, hey, back in our day, this didn't used to happen. But at some point in the NHL, the shootout conversation and the griping about it is going to stop, because in 20 years, you're going to get NHL fans in their 20s and 30s, and it's all they've experienced, so they don't really even care. You know, like I can't yell and scream about, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, the game used to be played a certain way. I never experienced it, so I don't care. But I'm sure guys that were fans of the game in the 20s and 30s were complaining about the changes all the way throughout the 40s and 50s.
Well, what you can do, you can be creative if you want to be. And I always look at minor hockey, and you think to yourself, tournaments when we were kids, you know, you'd play a tournament, and you'd start at even strength for 5 minutes. And then you'd play 5 minutes of 4-on-4. And then you play 5 minutes of 3-on-3. I would advocate something along those lines, and to see if you can't come to conclusion first before you get to shootout. But in terms of shootout, like last night's shootout was a classic shootout. I mean, there are lousy shootouts. The U.S. Czech shootout was a lousy shootout. 1 goal out of 10. Not even a great goal. 3 of the goals last night, 1 by a Canadian, 2 by the Americans, were spectacular, highlight reel, you'll remember them forever kind of goals. I mean, they were just, you know, took your breath away kind of plays. And when that happens, you know, yeah, you don't like it, but at least we got, you know, the Daou goal and then the Lamoureux goal. We got to see something spectacular. And if Canada's playing the U.S. in hockey, you're supposed to see something spectacular.
With Steve Simmons of Sun Media over in South Korea. So on the men's side of things, Canada plays Germany, and Russia plays the Czech Republic in the semis, and it's setting up for Canada-Russia in the final, and it's the 38th anniversary, I believe, today or yesterday, of the Miracle on Ice. Could you picture yourself promoting the idea, if Canada beats Russia, that it's somehow our version of the Miracle on Ice?
No. This isn't a David and Goliath kind of tournament. Everybody has trouble scoring except the Russians. And we don't know, because they haven't really played very many equal teams. So they've been piling up goals against Norway and Slovenia and things like that. So let's see what happens when they play today with the Czechs. The Czechs are a pretty good team. What you found in the last round, there's virtually nothing. When you take the NHL players out, and you put in this sort of quality of player, there's nothing to choose between the Czechs and the Canadians and Germany and Team USA and Finland and Sweden. Canada beat Finland 1-0. We're hanging on at the end. Czechs went to a shootout to win. Germany went to overtime to beat Sweden. That's how little there is between these teams. And everybody who thinks this is easy for Canada because they have Germany hasn't really been watching the tournament, because that's a veteran. The teams are quite similar, actually. They're a bunch of 30-somethings that play together.
There goes Steve. See if we can get him back. The truth is, I don't think a lot of people have been watching it that closely. I don't think a lot of Canadians have been tracking what was happening leading up to the tournament, watching every second of every single game. And even if you are watching the Canadian games, I can't imagine there's a lot of us throughout the country who are watching Germany's games that don't feature Canada or the Czech Republic or Russia. Like, without the NHLers, and let's be honest, the buzz just isn't there. You know, the pull into tracking your own country and your own team along with the other teams that are there because you have a connection via the NHL just simply isn't there. We got Steve back? Yeah, Steve, I was going to say, I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think a lot of people are watching the tournament from start to finish. And if they are, they're watching Canada, but they're not tracking what's going on in Germany. This has been a completely different experience without the NHL.
Yeah. Well, A, it's without the NHL, and B, it's the time difference.
Yeah.
And C, it's hard to get into teams when you don't know the players. I mean, I'm finding even, like, it's now, what, you know, 5 games for Team Canada today, and I'm still getting to know who these guys are. And I'm here. And so it's hard to sort of figure out who's who here. And if you're not watching Datsyuk and Kovalchuk, you know, sort of everybody else blends into everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the kid from Finland looks like he's going to be one heck of a player with Nashville, you know, Tolvanen, and he stood out. A few other players, the young Americans stood out. But there's not a lot of players here that you're looking to and saying, that's the guy. And then when you look, you know, you look at Germany, you don't know many of the names. Marcel Gotch is there, used to play in the NHL. Christian Ehrhoff is there, played in the NHL for a long time. But there's no offensive player you look at and say, well, that guy's the guy we're going to have to worry about. And your old teammate, Justin Peters, mm-hmm. He knows the Germans because he plays in Cologne. And three of the national team players are on his team, and he knows every other player. And I asked him, like, who do you worry about? He goes, they all know each other. They all play together. But he couldn't pick out a single name, a guy you got to worry about.
Right. That's a problem. That's a problem we're trying to promote. Hey, must-see TV, you got to track. And, you know, it's been a different experience because the NHL continues. The Leafs are playing tonight. Tavares is in town potentially for the last time as an Islander. And there's the league is on fire with this idea that Carlson could be traded. And, you know, McDonough could be traded. And Nash isn't playing tonight in Montreal. I mean, it's the NHL. They got something going here because the truth is you're tracking what's going on with them right now. And I can only imagine if it's is it reaching over there? I mean, are people buzzing about the NHL over in South Korea?
Not really, because it just seems like you're so far apart. Although you do see people sometimes in the morning watching hockey games on their computers, which by itself is just the weirdest experience. And,
right.
And with trade deadline coming up on Monday, I'm trying to figure out what's Monday here and how can I see it, and I don't know how it works. And I hate not being there for the first time in I don't know how many years. So that's a weird experience too. People are looking at, you know, as always, names get thrown out and the board and all that. But what you're sort of caught up with here is what's the game today and what's the event today, and watching some of the Canadians. And I'll take Kevin Poulin as maybe the best example. He's now the goalie because Ben Scrivens is hurt. About a year ago this time, Kevin Poulin was playing in that Quebec Senior Goon League.
Really?
You know the one with that crazy fighting North American Hockey League? I mean, he couldn't get a job. So he's there practicing with the local, you know, the local Quebec League or whatever, the North American League team. And they asked him, you want to play a game? He said, sure. So he played a game, one game in that North American League. He let in 5 goals. You wouldn't think a year later this guy is now, you know, the answer for Team Canada in goal, and he looks like a pretty good goalie. And in fact, some people are saying he might be able to go right back to the NHL.
Wow. Well, we'll see. Enjoy the final few days over there, and thanks for getting up for us, and I'm sure we'll chat again real soon.
One last thought, if you got a sec.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's two sports that we sort of look at that we're going to, you know, take on the world and succeed. That's hockey and curling. Yesterday, we lost to the Americans in both.
Crazy.
That hurts.
That one really stings. Really stings. And Kirstie Alley, apparently not a big curling fan. I don't know if you saw the American team chirp back at her about her movie career, but I thought it was a great, great chirp.
So that American team, they can... I've been too busy with the Garlic Girls.
Yeah, I can imagine. Be careful over there, Steve. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks.
All right. There's Steve Simmons from Sun Media, live from South Korea. Yeah, that was a tough day. The American curlers and the hockey team getting past our Canadians. And we're not going to medal. Well, we didn't medal on the women's side of the curling bracket, and more than likely won't on the men's side either. But it's been difficult to track. I mean, they're 14 hours ahead, and with the NHL ongoing, and the Leafs are playing well, and they're in action tonight. The Raptors are back in action tomorrow. The Jays are in spring training. There's too much going on here, really. You know, this show's a perfect example. We've talked a little bit of the Olympics here and there, but nowhere near what we would have been doing 4 years ago, let alone 8 years ago. When it was in Vancouver, it would have been 3 hours a day, nonstop Olympic talk. That's what everyone was interested in. I just don't sense that that's what the audience is looking for, so we haven't been going down that road. Get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Leaf game tonight. Get you an update on the lineup. There was some rumors earlier, reports earlier, that maybe Matt Martin would make his way back into the lineup. We'll tell you about that next. Feels like a goals night, even though it's a big total, 6.5. But I'm going over the number, Leafs Isles tonight. Under the number, New Jersey Mini, and I'll take Tampa in Ottawa. Throw down 20 and you can score 84. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So Babcock was saying earlier that there was someone sick up front for the Leafs, but it doesn't sound like that's going to be a problem tonight, because the same team that has gone 11-2 over the past 13 games will be intact tonight. So Matt Martin not playing. Freddie Anderson will get the start. It's kind of felt like a McElhinney opportunity to me. It's coming off a 40-save outing a couple of nights ago. You got Boston in town on Saturday, which is biggest game of the year. I know the Islanders can score, but they're probably going to score anyway, but they're also going to give up a ton. So if you're going to get shelled and win 6-5, let it be McElhinney. Because I do think McElhinney needs to get some more starts. I know that Babcock is committed to catching Boston and Tampa, and he wants to keep his team motivated and on top of things, and I understand that. But Freddie Anderson has seen more pucks than any goalie in the league. He's played more minutes than anybody in the league. Him being fresh come game one in April, top priority for me. Leafs Isles tonight. Enjoy it. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Don't forget, trivia tomorrow night at 6 p.m. We'll chat then.